This is Corolla Digital.
This Wednesday, 9 p.m., 8 Central, it's Spike TV's Guy's Choice Awards with Matthew McConaughey, Sandra Bullock, Kevin Hart, Keanu Reeves, Andy Samberg, Key & Peele, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover models, and more. Guy's Choice, this Wednesday, June 11th, 9 p.m., only on Spike. Hey, man, before we get started, you get started at GoToMeeting. You got a business? You need GoToMeeting. We use it here all the time, brought to you by Citrix. You can't do better. You just use your built-in camera there, and you have HD video conferencing. You know how it goes. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings online today. Your Mac, PC, tablet, smartphone, doesn't matter. You see why millions choose GoToMeeting. Try it for free, 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Adam. Thanks to you, the Adam Carolla Show has been going strong for 5 years and continues to grow because you share it with your friends, family, and coworkers. But now, the patent troll is suing me and threatening to shut down podcasting as we know it. Please visit fundanything.com/patent troll and donate to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund today. Your donation will help defeat the patent troll and keep podcasting free. Thank you and mahalo.
Live from the Ice House in Pasadena, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, Paul Rodriguez, with Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a round of blah, blah, blog. And now, Ice House is also a good name for A's V, Adam Carolla!
Thank you so much. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Oh, I guess Allison's still in the bathroom. Well, we'll work that one out. Hey, Paul Rodriguez is here tonight. And Bald Brian is over there. And Allison Rosen is walking on stage as we speak. Allison Rosen, everybody.
I saw Mike August out there, and he goes, "Oh, I thought you were up there."
To you.
I wasn't. To me, yeah.
Mm. I waited for you, man.
Yeah. I like Mike. I had an interesting revelation about Mike. Mike is a little bit tuned out, and he sneezes.
Whatever do you mean?
He sneezes violently, and he sneezes violently, like if you're driving in a car with him. He doesn't do like I like a guy who's got a little sneeze foreplay. Like the guy does first the hand comes up, like where he's tapping out for just a moment, where he's like I guess more like you're signaling a waiter that you'd like more iced tea. Like the hand goes up, you're talking, the hand goes up. Then they lean back a little bit. Then they close their eyes. Then they sort of look up like if they were looking at God's balls. Not the in face, the eye, but in the balls. You
the
know?
Face contorts itself.
The face like contorts, and they just do that move. And you can prepare yourself for it. Mike sneezes like somebody just came up behind you with one of those air horns they start a boat regatta with and just fires it off in the back of your head. And I said to him one day, "Mike, would you give me a little heads up? Because we're driving the rental car, and you just go, ha-plow! And it scares the shit out of me." And he said, "I don't know when I'm going to sneeze." And I thought, that's perfect for Mike. He doesn't even know himself.
I think
he's so detached, he doesn't know what he's going to do.
I think he doesn't know that he sneezed.
Oh, that could be even better. Yeah.
No, there are some things in life that should just surprise you, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you don't really want to prepare. Like, you see these fake sneezes where they put the The finger.
The one finger.
It should be like an explosion.
Well, that's Mike.
You know,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like a Rorschach test.
He does what we call a carpet bombing. There's a lot of what we call collateral damage that comes out of his nose. It's not a smart bomb that just flies into the bunker of Hussein's.
But do you ever have one of the fake sneezes that happens before the actual sneeze? And it's not like faking an orgasm. Like, you're actually, you're not doing it for anyone else's benefit. You think you're sneezing, but then you realize that was just like letting off a little bit of pressure and there's another one behind.
Yes, you try to sneeze.
How about the overdone when somebody wants to, you know, say a word in between their sneeze, like, you know, like, you know, fuck it, you know, like.
Right.
That's when it's done well, it's done well. But
yeah.
Obviously, I don't do it well. Tu madre. I do it in Spanish.
Oh, that's, I never thought about it. You sneeze in Spanish, or is that just one thing?
No, it's whatever your first language was, that you're pretty much stuck. You have to translate that.
That's where you sneeze in.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You think I'm bad. You should see the new Chinese sneeze.
Really?
I can't make it out.
You know what's weird? Like, the first time you found out a dog understood German and not English, or whatever the language was that was other than your language, I was always like befuddled and pissed, like, hey, dog language, that's English, baby, that's the national currency for dog language. You ever have a German guy speak to a dog in German? It's fucking weird.
I just always think, wow,
as a Jew, you gotta be freaked out, right?
what's he telling him?
Yeah,
not on my watch.
You know what? I always get this. I got this on Venice Beach. I always get some elderly woman with a chihuahua tell me, look, it's one of your own. You know, like...
Oh, that's nice.
Like me and the dog, you know. Hey, what are you doing under her arm?
You know, boy, this is going to be offensive, but between the chihuahua and the donkey, you guys just fucking rolled snake eyes when it comes
pretty
to animals.
Much.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I agree.
The Germans, you know, some places, you know, some places have like eagles, and some places have German shepherds, and you know,
even
Africa's got some crocodiles and shit. You got donkeys and miniature dogs. Horses and miniature dogs.
No horses.
I'm saying the donkey. It's like a miniature horse that's drunk and belligerent.
Yeah.
Like if you had a horse that you really didn't do anything, that you couldn't race, but was sort of belligerent and drunk and moody all the time.
Even in the dog world, like,
you know, oh, you got the chupacabra too. Sorry, no. You guys, hold on a second.
That's Puerto Rico. All right,
Rico, hold on. You guys were so fucking desperate for a decent animal, you had to make up the chupacabra. Oh, it comes down. It's got wings and talons. It sucks the blood out of the ghost at night.
You guys think about Bigfoot. Oh, Bigfoot, big hairy dude. You know, come on. At least the chupacabra had some thought behind it.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Big hairy dude.
We got Kodiak bears and, you know, Canada's got the moose and we got the eagles and stuff. You guys got a donkey and a miniature dog that a cat could kick its ass.
But the donkey is well hung. Now, you got to remember.
Well, it's true, but you came up with the chupacabra to try to save yourself from your lame animals. I never really thought about that.
When you preface your offensive comments with, this is going to be offensive, that's your version of the pre-sneeze. You're like, this is going to be offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of white privilege, let me
bless you.
Let me tell you. But I want to tell you a serious first world problem that I had not last week. I've been bitching trying to get the security pass so I could get through LAX. You know, to get, you know, get the clearance with the TSA, get the name, get the number. You're going with two forms of ID. Blah 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 blah. I've been trying to do that shit for 3 years now.
I got that. It's awesome.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right. I've been trying for 3 years.
It's super easy. What's taking so long?
Well, first off, I love it when people are naive about how fucking horrible and lazy our government is. Like when my wife says to me, well, You fly out of LAX all the time, so next time you're out of LAX, just make your appointment for that day and come in a little bit earlier.
Is that how you did it?
Oh, yeah, that's because that's how the government works. Yes, Mr. Carolla, we want to make it easy on you. Should we bring our TSA van over to your house and we just do all the work from the air-conditioned van? Or should we just pick a fucking random day in the middle of the day when you have no business at LAX and that will be the day you go to the Tom Bradley, or as my assistant calls it, the Tom Brady, because he has no reference for Tom Bradley.
Yeah.
Ironic that one of them's an athlete and the other's a politician, but the colors are a little swapped around on him. But well, he said you got to go down to Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's fucking a German model.
That's true.
She's international.
Yeah, she understands the German. Sorry. So he makes the appointment at the Tom Bradley International Terminal.
Great man, Tom Bradley.
He will be missed. Ran track at USC. Was the mayor here of...
He had Asian features, black skin.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. Yeah. So yeah. He had Asian eyes and black skin.
Chinese black man. He was made to be mayor here.
Yeah, he was. He was built to be mayor.
He had it all. And he spoke Spanish. I got to meet him. I knew him well.
And I hope it's gratifying for him to know that one day there'll be a huge building with a whole bunch of people in it that are pissed off waiting in line.
Who don't know who he is.
That's his name on the front of it. I wouldn't want my fucking name on an airport, would you? Because everyone there is pissed. Either it's that or it's like, $8 for an Arby's sandwich. Like everything, all they do is fucking you wait in line and then they gouge you.
A lot of airports now are being named after people. For example, in Texas, you can fly... out of George Bush.
All right.
Into Barbara, she was a congresswoman.
Stanwyck?
In Austin.
Oh, right.
From Austin, Barbara.
Yeah, oh, you mean Texas. Yeah, Barbara with the silver hair.
So
and
you
the,
can fly out of Bush into Barbara.
Yeah, right.
Ann Richards?
Yeah. And then have hope.
Yeah.
Ann Richards?
You're talking about Ann Richards?
No, Ann Richards was a governor. She was a congresswoman, very eloquent, a black congresswoman from Houston. Her name was Barbara. Jeez, I don't watch enough.
Barbara Vagina?
Yeah, the joke will work better with Barbara Vagina. Well, here's the thing. All right, so my first world problem, but then also, why is it, it's weird. Wow, heavy, man. Dig. The airport is our new, it's like a schoolyard in the sense that this is what I'm saying. Remember when you were 12 or 13, you're like in junior high, and every once in a while some kid would smuggle some McDonald's onto the campus, and you'd be sitting there, and there was a guy just eating a 39-cent cheeseburger, and it was the biggest deal in the world because what is that brand name doing in this sea of shitty gray meat that's boiled by old women? Now... Once you got out of school, you would have walked past the McDonald's and probably gone to the In-N-Out Burger or not been that whipped up. If somebody said, hey, we're going to go to McDonald's, you would have been like, all right, calm down. What's the big whoop? But the McDonald's bag inside of the school
like the
is a big deal.
It's like a cigarette in a prison.
Yeah, it's prison. Yeah. It's a carton of cigarettes in prison. That's when you're a kid. As an adult, I realize the airport is that for us. You see people waiting in line, 35 people long, to go to a McDonald's in the airport. Like, and even I, when I walk through the airport, I go, oh, shit, McDonald's, look at that. Do they got all the shit the regular McDonald's has? Oh, sure enough, Big Mac, quarter pounders, fuck. That's so sweet.
You know,
but I would never eat McDonald's when I'm on the outside, but it's super alluring when you're walking and you're going through the possibilities. What if I brought it onto the plane? I'd rule the plane, dude. Like, I'd be the fucking king of the plane. Dude, and there's always a line. You don't see white people who are rich in line in front of the McDonald's, 14 people long, in, Encino or Sherman Oaks. You do at LAX. It's a weird currency.
You know
yes.
What? The thing that always amazes me is, like, how is a small little hole in the wall able to give all the things that a big McDonald's on the outside does? You know that? Big Mac, they got the whole menu there, and it's just a little hole in the wall.
I don't know. Why
guy's got a George Foreman cooker back there, and he's able to do all that.
It makes you wonder what nefarious things they're doing at the big McDonald's with all that space.
And first off, it's like the Chihuahua of McDonald's, that the one at the airport. And number two, it does make you want to yell at the one that's 6,000 square feet and sitting on its own plot of land in the middle of nowhere, and they go, sorry, it's 10:35, breakfast is put away. What the fuck? You put eggs behind you. That's all you did is you took a carton of eggs and you put it in a refrigerator behind you. You do it on the grill. It's not put away. I used to work at a fucking McDonald's. All right. I used to. They don't put things away. It's the same grill. All right. My first world problem. My first world problem was...
That wasn't it.
That wasn't it. 3 years I've been trying to get these goddamn... This code so I could slide into the, you know... not the new face of Al-Qaeda line at LAX. 3 years, and finally, last week, I roll in on a Tuesday. I make my appointment. I go into the Tom Brady terminal. I marvel at the Super Bowl rings and the Lombardi Trophy up front and center. I got my two forms of ID. I got my proof of residency. I got the... By the way, the photocopied utility bill, like, that's really? Do you don't think Al-Qaeda has a computer and a printer? Like, the guy just looks at it and goes, well, sure enough, there's an address there and then an amount for $79 at the bottom. There's no water seal or anything on it. There's nothing. There's, you know, there's Al Gore's signature isn't anywhere near the thing. It's just a fucking piece of paper that has an address on it. But either way.
You know, I was never scared until I was going through that and the people at the security thing. I recognized some of them, you know.
Some of the security
from
guards?
From my high school. And I went, shit, we're not secure.
You went to an all-black high school?
Because some of them were working at McDonald's.
I see. Yeah.
No, but they, I don't think that there's a lot of requirements. A lot of, you know, what kind of tests they go? Because basically, every time you give them, they just look at you and look at that, and they put a check, and then you move on. I mean,
most security I see in terms of and all races, there's a white version, a black version, a Hispanic version. There's a part of me that thinks somebody gave them this job because if they weren't doing this, they'd be committing crimes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yes.
Like you take the kid who's the biggest pain in the ass in the class and go, I'm going to make you monitor. Here, I'm going to make you safety monitor. Right. Put this windbreaker on. He's like, what? I was gonna just go throw some graffiti up and bust a window. No, put your safety monitor. Here's your sash.
It's his all reverse psychology. Think about this,
you know, Al-Qaeda is bad, but they've created a lot of jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
If it were not for Al-Qaeda...
Unemployment for terrorists used to be through the roof. You look at the graph now. Plus, there's the guys who have to manufacture those monkey bars. That's booming. They didn't move a lot of swing sets in that part of the world, you know, before Al-Qaeda. They're probably the guys who built the jungle gyms for, Middle East, where, like, move, like, 5 units a year now. It's going through the roof with all the training videos. And
well, you know, the big scandal...
video editing skills.
I don't know if you saw that. The big scandal is that they're actually able to see you naked, like they're in another room laughing at you, you know? Mm-hmm. They have this scan where they're actually able to see all the parts right there. And they're probably, you know, they got pictures of you. They go, look at them, you know? They have that. They used to have the wisp. Have you ever been through the one that just blows, you know, blows all over you? And
yeah, I always go Marilyn Monroe.
You want to say
I hold my dress down. I pose. I sing Happy Birthday, Mr. Kennedy. Or President Kennedy, whatever it was. Anyway, it's real hot, yeah.
I don't know if they can make a determination that have you ever had, like, your hands checked? That, you know, they said that if you've been playing with, like, a basketball, that has the same enzymes as a bomb, so...
Well, everything's got more fecal matter on it than a toilet seat. Whenever they do a test, they find out that your reading glasses have a higher fecal content than the toilet seat. Turns out your scalp has a higher fecal matter. Every fucking baby Jesus that's on your dashboard has a higher fecal content.
Your gums.
Your gums.
See, no.
Your toothbrush. Like, everything has more shit on it than the place you shit.
The world.
See, and everybody thinks that Howie Mandel is not right by doing that, but I'm into that now, man, because you're right. There's a... No, man, let's say hi, you know, because...
I just want to eat off my toilet seat now and burn everything else.
Yeah, counterintuitively, it's the cleanest place.
Yeah, and all right. Oh, first world problem. Yeah, no, where were we? I went in, I brought my two forms of ID and my proof of residency and all that kind of stuff, and I got my number. I got, I don't know, it's a little five-digit number or something. When you reserve your plane tickets, you put the number in, you get your thing, they'll get you your thing. I was set. I was good, and it was on Tuesday. And I was like, this is fucking awesome because it's been 3 years of standing in line, playing clubs and theaters and whatever, traveling all over the country. Finally, I got this thing in my hand. I'm going to use the shit out of this thing. Then I found out on Thursday I was going to Sacramento just for the day to do a thing with Mike August, and he said, good news, we're flying private, NetJets, out of Van Nuys. And I was like, fuck! And he was like, what are you complaining about? You pull a car right up to the fucking jet, the guy throws the luggage in for you, and you take off. You got a beer in your hand before the wheels even. And I'm like, fuck that, that's bullshit. We're going to Burbank, we're flying Southwest. I'm using this fucking number. And he's like, you don't get it, we're going NetJets. It's going to be awesome.
I'll meet you there.
This is bullshit. Like,
is there a level above first world problems?
Is that above first world? Yeah,
I think it is.
I was devastated that I had to fly a citation to Sacramento for the day and that nobody wanted to see my ID. There was no security line. There was nothing.
Flying itself is kind of nerve-wracking, you know? I mean, you know, it's like, it's, you know, the plane's still missing. They haven't found
it. Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, I don't want to sound racist, but I don't fly anything with the word Asiana or anything on there. Because, you know, some stereotypes are based on a large proportion of the perceived truth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Asian airplanes, I mean, we know they can't drive. What makes us think they can fly?
Yeah, man.
You know, fuck it.
Wow.
I'd rather go with
I didn't. First off, there's not room enough in this town for two racists, all right? We're going to have to meet at sunrise, like on the high plains at fucking Duel or
some
something.
Some stereotypes are good. Like, you know, you always have the stereotype of the intelligent, the book smart, you know, Asian. When I go see a doctor, I prefer them to be Asian. You know?
Oh, yeah.
This guy paid attention.
No, you don't want to be one of the guys you went to high school with.
I don't want nobody with the Z in his last name. I go,
No, I like...
I'm going to pass. I want somebody named Iskowitz or something like that. Somebody that knows what they're doing.
No, you know what I'm looking... I think what we're all looking for in doctor, dentist, surgeon, like any serious professional, is a guy we can size up or a woman who got zero pussy in high school. Like, just... I look at the guy with the big beak and the male padding baldness and the weird wearing his pants a little too high and the belt sucked in a little too tight, and I go, there's a guy who got not an ounce of pussy in high school. He was buried in a book, not in pussy, entire... Is that what you want? Like, just, it doesn't matter what the nationality is.
No, it does.
I did not get laid until I was 28.
There you go.
That's the look I want on a medical professional.
Well, you know, I think the bigger your penis is, the dumber you are. I think this has been proved, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's just medical fact.
Yeah. It's proven. I mean,
By the way, super high fecal matter content on those penises.
Well, you're putting it in the wrong place, I guess. I don't know.
No, but you want a male or female, whatever the race is, you want that look of zero action in high school. Like, there's a super uncomfortable person whose hair was totally fucked up in high school and they didn't know what to do with it, right?
It's a good measure. You're a good measure, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have an unattractive doctor, chances are he's competent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unattractive anything is competent, I've found.
Yeah, a lot of time do homework. Logically, it makes sense. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Occasionally, you find the unattractive, incompetent person, though.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, 0 for 2.
And then I feel bad because I usually assume that they would be competent. And then I feel like I've somehow...
Yeah, you're a fuck-up who no one wants to fuck.
Yeah.
That's so bad. I should give Paul a plug, by the way. Hey, Pasadena Ice House. Where the fuck is that? June 20th and 21st. It's coming up the weekend after next. Missionaire. What, you got a movie coming out?
This is one of the best rooms to work in, by the way. This right here. This is perfect. Comedy in huge arenas. I wouldn't know what that is, but
Well, they wouldn't know what that was
it's
either.
It's intimate. See, this is a great place. I've been working this for a long time, man. It's a good place. You know, if you see a comic, they could really do good work up here. You know, see their facial expressions, see if they're sweating it, see if they're off the hook, you know, or whatever the new term is.
No, it's awesome going home with almost no money. It's great. I mean, as a performer.
You do it out of love.
Why would you want to play like a big arena
big
and do one show when you could do 128 little shows here for the same money? You're right.
Exactly. That's why I'm doing it.
That's right. So he's keeping it real,
man. Child support.
Yeah, man. Fuck the Staples Center. Do it here, man.
I turn them down. I
said, turn that shit away. That's right. You got a movie coming out, Missionaire?
Yeah.
Now, that's Tom Arnold is in that. Jamie Kennedy's in that as
all
well.
All the people that...
would play here?
That would play here. Yeah. Yes. Tom, he said it. I didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I like this skinny Tom Arnold. Because I, you know...
Let me tell you how bad things are. Tom and I read for a... There were, CBS was doing a Latino family, right? The Garcias, right?
Mm-hmm.
We both read for that same role, right?
Wow.
He got it.
Really? That's it, really?
Ask him. That's true. That's true. And he was begging. Like, I got the part there. Rodriguez, help me Garcia. Rodriguez, help me Garcia. I said, you could go fuck yourself.
Well... You know what? You know
I'm
what?
Not I, bitter.
You know what? I've realized what I miss about Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold is not fat.
Yeah,
he's not fat anymore.
Look what Roseanne did to him.
She squeezed him like a tube of toothpaste. There's nothing left of the man.
She took half of everything.
That's right.
Oh man.
He's skinny now. But here's and you guys, let's please admit this about fat people.
Let's.
Okay. No matter what, like when you're dealing with a fat person, could be a super successful fat business person, super successful fat lawyer, super a fat cop who's writing you a ticket, like whatever it is, no matter what, at the end of the exchange, you walk away and you think, well, at least I'm not fat. Like, you win. You win every battle with a fat person. A fucking fat cop can waddle up to your car, can pull you out, could fucking write you a DUI, to throw you in the back, zip tie you, hog tie you. It doesn't matter. You'll be sitting in that drunk tank going, at least I'm not fat. Like, you win. You win every argument, every battle, everything with a fat person, because that just is the bottom line at the end of the day. When they walk away after taking all your money and whipping the shit out of you, they're still fat. You got that. No, I don't got that with Arnold anymore.
There's some people that like fat people.
No, that's why I like them. That's what I'm saying. I win. I win everything.
Fat doctor tells you have cancer. Well, at least I'm not fat.
And by the way, wait till you see how much weight I lose when the chemo kicks in.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. But no, it's just a fat. And then every once in a while, the ultimate winner is the fat guy who's smoking while he's talking. And you're like, oh, this is win-win. Because now you're smoking and fat. I got two victories here.
But here's the thing, and this one hits close to home. Mm. If you're fat and then you lose a bunch of weight, you don't really pass as a thin person. You're just the person who used to be fat.
All anyone ever does, and I should tell all the fat. I know you can't lift your fat arms, but show chins. We got some fat people out there. Don't bother losing the weight because all you do is go from looking fat to looking weird.
Yeah.
You don't actually look weird. You just look different to all the people who knew you.
You look like a Sharpay, you know? You see somebody that's lost all kinds of weight in this.
But it's just everyone who was formerly in your life just goes, Tom Arnold looks weird now, doesn't he? He was fat, now he's weird. He's not actually weird. It's just we're used to seeing him walking around at 245, and now he's a buck 65, and it's freaking us the fuck
and
out.
And his tits are right next to his belly button.
That's right. His tits are on his belly. That's right.
You,
all right, Brad.
You knew me for about 2 years, then I lost 55 pounds. How long did it take you to get used to the new me?
Well,
or are you used to the new me?
First off, this is why I never look up when I talk to people. I just stare at their shoes because I don't want to have to go through this process. Number one. Number two, you had the dignity to drop like 8 pounds every 4 months over the course of 5 years. Like, you didn't do one of those holy shit moves. You did one of those, I'm just going to boil this frog by turning its fat ass flame up just a little. I may be mixing some metaphors, but you know what I'm saying.
I feel offended either way.
And let me ask you, did you lose weight for aesthetic reasons or health?
Both. I was 23 or 4 and I was fat and I was like, I can't live my life this way, so I lost
weight. Do you get laid more now?
Well, it's zero versus some, so yes.
He's doubled your intake. That's good.
Yeah.
He couldn't be fat and bald.
Yes. That's
oh,
right.
I'm sure there's a fat, no, bald woman out there.
No, fat and bald is fat and smoking. You know what I mean? It's like win-win. I win
for every
shoe battle
there's
with that
a foot.
Person. Yes. You just called his wife a foot?
No, I mean...
By the way, website, paulrodriguez.com. What's going on with your son? Is he still skating and coming out with tennis shoes?
He had a bad
like
weekend. He was in Austin at the X Games. He didn't do well there. But he's getting old for a skater, you know. But he's done just about everything there's to do in skating. You know, he's 28, going to be 29 now. And he's going to, you know, go into acting.
Paul's son is a big-time professional skateboarder who had, like, his own shoe line.
Yeah, he's the only one who's got his Nike. You know, when he told me he was going to be a skater, my heart dropped because my impression of a skater was like that dude on The Simpsons with the beanie, you know?
Right.
Somebody 34 asking me for money, you know? But he's done very well, and I'm asking him for money. So,
yeah. Who's made more money over the last 10 years? You or him?
Hands down, he has. Well, the money I made, his mom took, and by court order.
Right.
But I'm not bitter or nothing.
No.
I'm homeless is what I am.
Yeah.
But he's a great kid. His mom did a good job, and he's making bank, you know.
It's incredible. And it's also weird, like, I didn't have the heart to do it, but my 50th birthday was like 3 weeks ago, and I wanted to call my dad and go, I feel old. How fucking old do you feel?
Oh, man.
You have a fucking kid who's 50? You have a kid with a gray pube. How old do you feel, old man? You're fucking so old that your son is too old to compete in skateboarding.
Man. I was just telling my dad that the other day. It was a... You know, it's really weird because there's no avoiding age. So the best thing to do is just, you know people, old people invent shit like, you know, oh, you know, 50 is the new 40. You know, it's bullshit. It's still 50. But, you know, it's inevitable. So just deal with it and try to make the best out of it. I don't like people who try to, like, paint everything or Botox or change it. Dude, they can Google you. They got the Carfax on you. They know how old you are. You
right.
Know? So I'm going to be 60 years old. I'm not recommending it. I'm not proud of it. But that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
My parents fucked back in the 50s. So, I had nothing to do with it, you know?
Yeah. All right, so your son is going to, like, retire from skateboarding?
And go into acting. I think he's going to surprise everybody. He's a good actor. When he was a kid, I would take him always on the set. Mm-hmm. And he always had a good eye. I think he's going to surprise everybody but me. Actually, Jay Abrams called him for the Star Wars.
He went to
read for a part of that. I don't know what's happened, but just
wow.
Just he's getting some attention. I think he'll morph into a very decent actor. There'll be a
well, I have this theory about people who do things that are very difficult to do, such as professional skateboarding or stand-up comedy or
didn't
what
you
have
come up
you.
With this theory about porn?
No, but I can easily move it over toward porn.
I feel like you ran this one by Sasha Grey.
Let's talk about porn.
No, this is true. Like, if you can do porn, you can do anything.
You have done everything.
My mom told me that.
Yeah. No, if you can excel in an arena that's very elite, like there's a million jack-off teenagers who ride a skateboard and less than 1% of them can make a living, never mind a good living, and get a shoe deal out of riding a skateboard, then whenever you focus on your next endeavor, which is now going to be acting, which is another super low percentage gig, you're just much better at landing low percentage gigs and making that work. It's
he
not
bought a
like...
beer company, so that's even lower percentage, but it's doing well. He bought a beer company in San Diego. Here's a plug, St. Archer's. Not just him, but 10 other guys from the X Games got together, and this beer is awesome, man. You know,
really?
It's free.
Wow.
What can I tell you, you know? I called him up. I go, listen, buy a beer company, you know?
Yeah.
St. Archer's is a good brew. It's doing very well.
Yeah, I think of... They
brought some by the studio. It is very good.
Yeah, I think we've had some of that. To be fair, I love all beer, you know? Like, there's beer I like and then beer I love. It's sort of it sort of reminds me of jerky. Like, it's
like
really
a blowjob. There aren't bad ones, you know?
No, right.
Great ones.
No, I'm telling you, your son is awesome at... oh, no, yeah, not that. But what I mean is... yeah, no, there's right. And the thing about the blowjob is I'm always so tickled pink or purple by the the effort, you know, that
you're married.
Yeah, but so, I still love the thought behind the blowjob. You know what I mean?
Turn the lights off. That's what I used to do when I was married, and say somebody else's name, and that didn't work out. To,
are you seeing other? You're dating with? Oh, you had a beautiful woman in the green room back there.
I just pay for it now. I ain't got time for it. I'm at the Charlie Sheen school of sex, man. Look, I'm old. I'm tired. Here's a 20. And
big spender.
I'm sorry. It's totally a joke for the young ladies that are with me here.
Yeah.
They're not professional.
But you did it right. You got divorced.
No,
you
have a kid. Never got married.
Oh, you never got married?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, they talk about... the truth is, it might sound trite, but the truth is, a paper's not going to keep two people together. If you love each other, you know, why should you take my shit when you're gone?
Right.
And
so you never got married?
Never got married.
You've never been married?
Never been married, no.
Wow.
But so then was it a common...
Totally un-Catholic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a stereotype thing, right?
To be honest, it's all in the, you know, I love women, literally, but it's all in the advantage of the women, you know? I mean, the guy is, you know, we lose, just, you know.
Yeah.
You no, go in there, the judge says, oh, yeah, how much do you make? Not no more. And yeah. I have two children for two different women, and I've lost two homes.
Mm-hmm.
Homes. Those homes are really nice, and you should see the duplex.
You lost two homes without even being married?
That's right. Well, what do they call it?
Common
law here in California. 8 years, it's the same thing. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do that thing that shitty companies do of just break up every 7 years and then re-up.
I should have got a real lawyer and not go to, you know, Jacoby and Myers, things like that. You know, I should have. Don't save on your lawyer.
Use that guy on the side of the bus with the 9-7 points that he's pointing.
Tu número.
Yeah.
Accidentes.
Alto. Pare. No es bueno.
Choke on a churro.
No, and also, you want to have workman's comp?
Why? By the way.
Are you going to sleep tomorrow?
Can I say this about the Hispanic culture? I feel like the rest of the world has caught on to the cheesy mustache and doesn't trust it. You guys still worship at the altar of the cheesy mustache. I wouldn't hire a lawyer with a cheesy mustache. That guy with the 7 or 14 nines in his phone number has the cheesy mustache.
You know, I actually got offered a job for one of these lawyer firms, right? And so far, that month I didn't need the money, but I came close.
I saw it. Hi, I'm George Lopez.
I did. You know, so many people, like I don't look anything like it, but so many people stop me on the street and go, Mr. Lopez, I get called Mr. Lopez so much that I started to write his name now, you know, on checks. And fuck it, I'm going to steal his identity. Why? You know, but it is. In the Spanish, if you ever watch Spanish television, you see that they're back in vaudeville. But you know, like the news ladies are all low-cut dress.
Don't insult vaudeville by saying they've moved up to vaudeville. That's a smack in the face to all the vaudevillian performers who came 120 years ago. Well, that is an attack on vaudevillians. There's still some that are alive. Well, and if they heard that, they would be very upset. You'd probably get a pie in the face.
Seltzer water.
But I mean, it's very, very sex-driven.
Oh, listen, it's great.
The equivalent to the Katie, let's say the equivalent to the nightly news anchor. She's like big-breasted. They have a see-through plexiglass desk, and they're talking. Ay, the war in Afghanistan, muy malo. The missiles are pointed at Israel. You know.
She's got the D cups and the mustache. Guys are like, oh, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Very sex driven.
I'm just saying, we don't go for lawyers with cheesy mustaches. You guys are suckers for cheesy mustaches.
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
Man,
accident.
Your team is good, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You get us ready.
But he looks like the guy who's sort of the front man in the mariachi band, or the guy the guy at the rodeo who's not doing anything, but he looks good on the horse.
Who
is that? That's the gig I want. The guy's riding the horse, but he's not doing anything at the beginning of the rodeo.
This guy's Cuban. That's the difference. He's Cuban.
Oh, okay.
He's Cuban.
What's the difference now? The
big difference.
Big difference?
Cubans are
not
Cuban.
To us.
They're like, oh, no. They're Cubans, you know. They're like Mexicans with a boat, but they're different. They're the most educated. They'll tell you, you know. My in-laws were Cuban, and they're weird. They're just any Cubans here. They're obsessed with Fidel Castro. Their whole world is run by Fidel. You know, my father-in-law would go, Fidel. You know, Fidel has a weather machine, and Fidel.
I said, wait a minute. I thought you were never married.
Well, he's my father-in-law because that's what he called himself.
Oh, okay.
And I finally told him, I said, look, Fidel, the truth is Fidel died years ago, and they just bring him up every Cinco de Mayo as a weekend at Bernie's dead guy.
Right.
He's dead.
Do they have a Cinco de Mayo over there in
they
Cuba?
They do now. I took him one.
You gave him one?
How can you tell he's Cuban?
Or you I just can know tell. I know Cuban. The guy. I mean, he's my neighbor, you know.
I'd like to talk. I wonder. I'd like to
Era
talk.
Chico,
to, do we have any French people here?
Thank God.
Okay, good. I'd like to go to France and go, you know, Mexico? Yeah. The place where they got the chupacabra and the drug cartels? Yeah. Their biggest holiday celebrates whooping your ass in a war.
It's a good holiday,
that's,
man.
That's their still. It's 250 years old. That's their one victory, and it's over your ass. Is there anyone you don't lose to?
Can you think?
Good and by one. The way, here's a $2 billion check brought to you by Corona and Budweiser. They wanted me
that's
to present it to you.
Money.
I mean, thank God you guys lost so many years ago to Mexico because this is fucking huge industry for Budweiser.
In reality, the French really didn't lose. They just kind of blended in. You know, they just disappeared. There's a lot of intermarriage. You know, they just see in Mexico used to have African Americans, but there was a priest called Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla who allowed interracial marriages. So consequently, Mexico hasn't had a race problem. We've had every other problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
well, you guys are racing for the border.
Well,
we're gonna get the fuck out of here.
The difference, see, you gotta understand how they view it. You know, they view it. It's the border. It's hard to feel alien or illegal in a city named Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know that's true. I've always said that we're gonna go to San Ysidro. We're gonna go.
We don't
down.
Feel illegal until that side of the Mississippi.
We'll go to Las Feliz. We'll see on Sepulveda Boulevard, and then it just keeps going. Santa Monica and Santa Barbara. Like, we should start naming it like Honkyville.
I'll
meet
you
down on Klan Boulevard. Why don't you have black people? Where's your black people?
They are there, but
they're there. I've been to Mexico.
They've all blended into to like just us, dark. You know?
We're missing out on
a
huge opportunity.
We have fucked our way out of racial problems, as we've done.
Yeah.
We slept away with everything, you know?
All right, so there's
Latinos
nothing.
Are the most varied people. We come as white as Christina Agriculture.
Yeah.
And we're as black as the national baseball team, you know?
Yeah, right.
We're Asian. There's Hispanics that are Asian. There are German. My mother was German Hispanics. There are... there's everything. You know?
Well, I heard that that's where that ranchera music came from.
Yeah, Un Papa, yeah, yeah.
The
Sinaloa, which is the state where Culiacan was the state where we come from, there was a lot of German immigrations there, and they used the Un Papa, the tuba, and all of that.
The accordion. Yeah. So what do you think? The Germans showed up in Mexico and said, we have a music that's so fucking foul and heinous that nobody, there's no amount of alcohol or consumption that could ever make it sound good. And the Mexicans all got together and went, I think we can beat you. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. And the Germans were like, good luck. Good luck. We've been 500 years making music that is the most annoying on the planet. It's called Un Papa. I think we can do ranchera music.
Well,
I think we can do it. All right, knock yourself out. Leave the tuba and accordion behind.
They showed up right after every major world war. You know, it didn't go well for them, so boom, they moved.
Yeah.
That's how Argentina got formed, you know.
Yeah, boys from Brazil.
That's it. So there was a lot of German immigration there. And again, you see like a real Mexican-looking guy with a
well,
German...
Well, Germans, you know, the Germans, they do a thing where it's like, they have like two meetings. Like, they're like, look, let's start a world war. Okay, good. Now, What's our exit strategy? I'd like to go to a warm weather place where I could buy some land. You know what I mean? That's like they have to come up with an exit strategy, and then they plan their war.
Well, you know, they plan ahead. They're very meticulous. You know?
Yeah, no, they're good that way.
They foresaw. You know, this dude is nuts. We're gonna lose. So where can we want to go? You know, Bolivia? No, Brazil maybe, or Mexico.
How many guys? You know, you never see it in the movies, but how many guys when like, you know, 1943 and a half, and Hitler's like, look, after we're done whooping some ass on the Soviet Union. Then we take over the whole of Europe. Then what we do is we go over to Asia. I wonder how many guys were just sort of standing toward the back of the gymnasium where he's giving the speech, and we're like, oh, boy, this is going to fucking be. This is so fucked up. This is going to be. I don't know. Do you got a fucking hole somewhere we can hide? Well, like, listen, I'm going to start befriending some Jews. I'm going to find a lawyer. I'm going to get a guy with a mustache, not a Hitler one. Like, how many guys were in the back of the auditorium going, I don't think things are going so well over in Russia about now.
I got a cousin lives in Argentina.
We could go
visit him in Argentina.
Oh, Argentina? Yeah. Wouldn't mind getting out.
There's a large Jewish community in Mexico City. Also, Sephardic Jews. You know, they're a little bit of everything there.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They got their temple and everything. They're just
in Mexico City.
Mexico City, and there's synagogues. There's a lot of
really
Ramon Lipschultz and a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, that's true. You know, there's a little bit of everything. Mexico has a lot of problems, but immigration and people coming from different places being accepted, it hasn't been one. You know, it's a beautiful country. Sadly, it's run by despots, and people just screw over the people. You know, they Mexico's a rich country, except that it's all stolen. There was a Mexican comedian, very famous comedian, named Palillo, who did a joke that actually got him arrested. He said,
Hold on, not that famous, because no one in this room's ever heard.
That's the ethnocentrism of you. You think that unless they speak English or see a your view, there's no humor in this world?
Goddamn
nobody's laughing.
You're
wrong. I mean,
goddamn right. Speak English just like the dogs, just like Jesus Christ.
Well, in this room, you get the right response, but I assure you that around this very neighborhood, there are people who would differ with you vehemently.
Yeah, I'd love to hang out with those gents. Well,
you might have to, you know?
All right, so anyway, Paella's doing what?
No, he, Palillo.
Oh, whatever. All right. He's super famous.
No, he is.
He's opening for Jaguars.
Well, there's a billion of those people, laughing.
I don't judge.
Well, then I'll spare you.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, well, he said that that Mexico should pass a law that every president should be allowed to steal only 20 million. That 20 million would be enough, and the country could handle that. But the problem is that they steal, 20, 30 billion. Like, the last, Salinas lives in I believe it's in Ireland. And he looted the country. Every president becomes president, loots the treasury, and then they have to. But their economics is cool because what they do is they just subtract a zero from their peso. Subtract a zero. Right. That's how they solve their economics. They don't have no Greenspan guys.
What's Vicente Fox doing?
He's doing very well, very wealthy. You know, the wealthiest man in the world is Mexican. That's not by accident, you know?
Yeah.
That's because there's a lot of us being fucked.
Oprah's Mexican? I'm confused.
Could the wealthiest man in America or the world?
It's Oprah, right?
She's the most powerful man in America.
Oh, she's right.
She's
but that's not the richest. She's right.
I get a magazine.
But the richest is...
Carlos Slim. It's Carlos Slim. And, he's a... He probably owns the station, you know?
So. Yeah. No, what's his business?
Everything.
He's got his hand on everything. But what I'm saying is that there's no equitable, not force, but distribution of the wealth. That's a problem.
All right.
Not socialism or communism. I mean, just, you know, there's no jobs. So consequently, they have to come here and sadly enough, do things that Americans don't want to do.
Yeah, but if they get here early enough, they can do comedy.
That's
and
why
their
I'm
sons
here.
Can, their sons can ride a half pipe and sell
me,
tennis shoes and
I'm
sell
very,
beer
I'm very
to
lucky.
The
I'm,
blue-eyed I'm, devil. It works out.
I love this country, and that's why I'm here. And I was in the Air Force, so, you know. I went to Nam.
What?
Can you say that?
No, man. I did lose a lot of good friends over there, man.
Somebody told me to, one time they told me to go to, back to Mexico where I belong. I said, well, you didn't tell me that when you were drafting my ass, so so kiss the brownest part of my balls, you know? I'm an American. I'm not apologizing. I'm just telling you historically what's going on.
What'd you do in Vietnam?
Very little. Very little. You know?
By the way, can I just say
I was in
this?
The Air Force. You know, so we kill people from far away.
If I was...
We don't get our hands dirty.
One of the cultures, like, you know, circa World War II, I was black or as a female or as a, you know, Indian or whatever, and Whitey was going like, listen, you're not fit to do battle. I'd be like, you're goddamn right, I'm not. I'd be like, when the white guy comes around, everyone be looking through the barrel of your gun like it's a telescope. So, like, come on, you guys go play dominoes over there. We're going to play in Normandy. Yeah. We'll be over here staring down this kaleidoscope here. Like, that would be my whole plan until the war's over. There'd be no Tuskegee Airmen. There'd be like, oh, no, I want to get into the fucking fray. I want to be the first guy. When that Higgins, did you see Tom Hanks? When that fucking gate drops on that Higgins craft, I want to be the first guy charging toward that German pillbox. I'd be like, no, you're right. I'm flawed as a culture. I'll be back. I'll be in the rear with the gear.
Oh, well, you
go on ahead.
No, it is, but somebody had to do it so that we can talk shit, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, D-Day just happened, and in all seriousness, you know, the reason why we had
the 70th anniversary
is because some schmo didn't decide to go to Canada or wherever he came from. He bit the bullet and
I agree.
This country.
I want you to know, like...
And here's to all the veterans.
Yes, I agree. As a white man, I would have championed the cause of, like, let the first five landing crafts have nothing but Mexicans and blacks in them. What are we doing here, people? Let's give them their rights.
I assure you.
Let them fight. Until the Germans are out of bullets, and then we come in.
I assure you that there were Mexican-Americans fighting in all those wars, except we never make the movies.
I say, tell Clint Eastwood, because he doesn't know.
Well, you know, well, that's
now,
a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, where the hell were we? Oh, we're going to do a little blah, blah, blog? Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
June 8th is one of my favorite days of the year. When else can you leave a trail of candy wrappers or lottery tickets or trashy novels in your wake
and feel
McCarthy. Good about it? On this day, you can because it's National Name Your Poison Day. And across the country, people are pouring out of their pantries or climbing into their Lazy Boys to indulge in their most secret indulgences, from good martinis to bad TV. We are all vulnerable to that one thing that truly turns our crank. And why not? We've usually got our nose to the grindstone. We've earned this day. Is it Marlo Thomas? Rachel
Sounds
Ray.
Sounds a lot like Marlo.
That girl.
That's the Marlo
Classic
I know.
Marlo.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray or Robin Quivers?
It ain't Robin.
Well, it's interesting.
Hold on, martinis, food, maybe?
This is somebody who wants to eat whatever they want to eat on a certain day and is constantly battling with themselves, you know?
I think it's Rachel Ray because it made me want to vomit.
It is a weird, it's a weird thing being living in this country and basically having an abundance of everything and having just a basic, like, while everyone else is fighting hunger, we're fighting ourselves over being hungry, but there's a full pantry and it's a constant battle that goes on.
You know, America has the fattest poor people on the planet.
Yes, thank you.
And we should be proud of that.
Yeah. I'm going to say Rachel Ray as well. And I know Marlo Thomas is on there, and I feel like Mike Lynch tosses these people on there to distract me.
Unless he tossed Rachel Ray on there as a distraction.
Yeah.
She's in the whole food service.
I'm still going to stay with Rachel Ray. What do you think,
Paul? I remember Marlo was so hot, man. I used to masturbate when watching... watching
well,
that girl.
June 8th, no one would judge you.
Yeah, well.
You could.
But
you
I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go with Robin.
You're going with Robin?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the martinis. The
It doesn't feel Robin Clearsy to me, Paul.
I never heard of Pick Your Poison Day, whatever it's called. And I think remember in morning radio, we used to get those morning things that were like, "Oh, today is National Pink Rabbit Day" or whatever crazy day it was. I think Robin gets those. That's why she knows what this is. So I'll say it's Robin.
Uh oh. I feel like you might want to jump ship.
I want to change my answer now because that's too logic.
No, that's good. So you got Robin. You got Robin. We went with Rachel. What's
and
the
block belongs to Marlo Thomas.
God damn it! Fuck!
Oh, man.
I like after the person is wrong when they go, I damn. Knew it! I knew it! Damn. I was positive! I fucking knew it was a cinch! It was a dead lock!
That's why my SAT sucked, man.
Yeah. Oh, you took the SATs?
I wound up at ITT.
Ra-di-da. I never even took the SAT. That's how fucking bad a student I was. I didn't get a bad score on the SATs. I got a zero on the SATs because I never took the SATs.
Yeah, that was shameful. Very bad. Very bad.
Yeah. All right. Fucking Marlo Thomas. Goddamn. All right. We're all over. Here we go.
For some people, the word justice means punishment. But the righteous man knows an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. That's not just what Gandhi said. That's reality. Yet, despite the facts, we're a prison-crazed society. The solution to all our problems, put them in jail. Yet we forget what a horrible act of torture prison is, even for a day. Not only that, it doesn't do anything for us except serve the worst part of ourselves, the part that wants revenge. The word justice comes from Latin. Ijustia, meaning righteousness, equality.
Judge Judy.
Justice doesn't mean retribution. It doesn't mean revenge. Justice doesn't mean two wrongs make a right. Justice equals equality. Is it Adrian Grenier?
Oh, God.
Danny Glover or Tavis Smiley?
Oh, man. This is a Mount Rushmore blowhard.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be hard.
Wow.
Tavis is one of those guys who, if you ever point out Al-Qaeda has killed a few Americans, he explains that Christianity is the cause of more deaths than... Right. All 1,000 years ago, but thank you for that.
I don't think it's Danny Glover because he can't catch a cab, so, you know.
Jesus Christ. Now, Adrian Grenier is a pretty healthy blowhard. Yeah,
he's coming on strong, too, with the documentaries and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he's coming on the blowhard race strong.
Yeah, he's definitely making his blowhard move.
The weird thing is that before the names were even announced, I thought Adrian Grenier, which means it's a Lynch red herring.
Mm.
Maybe.
I feel like this is a Tavis.
Yeah, Tavis.
He's a huge blowhard, so I think Tavis. But again, all right, I'm going with Tavis Thomas. I'm just going to combine two.
It's good. You can't lose.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to hedge my bet. All right, I'm going with Tavis Smiley.
The thing that's making it Tavis-esque Tavian, is the Latin, except for something's pulling me towards Danny Glover.
The Latin, I see.
Something's pulling you towards Danny, huh?
Yeah.
It's probably Mel.
Yeah. All right. I'm going Tavis. Paul?
I'm going to go with Grenier.
All right.
Grenier. Paul? Grenier.
Allison? I guess I'm going to go Danny Glover because why not?
Okay, why not?
The blog belongs to Adrian Grenier.
Oh, my God.
He just has that look like there's going to be a bust of him somewhere, you know?
Oh, so such a blowhard. Jesus Christ. Christ.
Anyone who gives you the Latin root definition is very concerned with how smart they come across.
What makes the Latin root right, anyways? You know.
But it's so actors. They're so fucking blowhardy because you play a guy on a TV show we all watch when we're either stoned or drunk. What the fuck do you think we care about your opinions for? You're not an orator like a comedian like ourselves, where you know people need to listen to what we have to say.
Sometimes in small crowds.
All right. Wait a minute. Did Paul just score a point there? Brian as well?
Paul and I both did.
Every Father's Day, I can't help thinking about Christmas, or what I call the Christmas from hell. It was 15 years ago, over the winter holiday, that I had left my daughters with my father and my mother so I could take my wife to dinner. An hour later, I was called home because my dad had beaten my mom again.
Ooh.
This happened all the time growing up because he was an alcoholic. But now he was doing it in front of my kids. I'd always looked at the past as this horrible experience that I had to forget. But no, I needed to sit in it and take those experiences for what they really were.
Oh, yeah, I know. Ben Stein?
Tom Arnold.
It had been bad, sure, but it made me who I am. Is it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Boy, what an insufferable blowhard.
Terry wow. Crews.
Wow.
Or Cheech Marin.
Ooh.
Well, Cheech Marin, his dad was a cop, so that he's out. He's out. His
father what do you mean? Cops do the most beating when they get
but
home.
They don't get arrested for it, you know?
Mm.
It's all hush-hush.
So this guy's dropping a dime on pops, right?
I'm going to go with, let me see.
This is tough. Cheech? Oh, my God. First off.
I go to Terry Crews.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 67 years old.
Or according to you, he's 10 years past his death date.
Oh, I did have a very an uncomfortable conversation about his early demise.
By the time he was 10, he was taller than his dad. So
yeah. Is Kareem's dad alive?
No idea.
Kareem's thing would be jazz-related.
Yeah.
He would say something about jazz in Harlem.
Who has daughters?
In Trinidad.
Because 15 years ago, I shouldn't be giving this away, but I don't know. So 15 years ago, he left his daughters with his parents.
Oh, it's 15.
So
I'm going Terry Crews just on an ugly stereotype.
I'm going to go with Kareem because but that also, makes sense. 15
Crews
years ago.
Seems like the kind of guy who could have a dad who could still whoop some ass, you know?
Yeah. Got I'm going Terry Crews as well.
Good ass whooping cheese.
And Cheech has one daughter. And
Cheech has a daughter.
Pennsylvania. She's grown up now. I don't know where
her name's Pennsylvania?
No, she's a beautiful girl.
She lives in Pennsylvania.
She's Amish, so there's no beef.
Okay. You know Cheech well?
Well, I know that much about him.
Okay. All right. Brian, wait. So what do we got? Terry Crews?
I'm going with Kareem.
Oh, Kareem.
15 years ago.
Crews is the only one who's age appropriate for this, so I'll say Terry Crews.
All right, we got three Terry Crews.
Four Terry Crews.
One Kareem.
Peer pressure.
Four Terrys.
All right.
The blog belongs to Terry Crews.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Is his dad pissed that he's writing blogs? Okay. All right.
You know, that's become kind of, if you get offered a book deal, your publisher sits there and goes, sure you got over cancer, but did you beat anyone or did your uncle stick a finger in your ass? You know, they want to know.
Yeah. I know because every... That's child, sad. Eventually, here's what happens. Everybody who was on the Brady Bunch or on the Partridge Family or on any of those shows from our childhood has to write some sort of tell-all book when they're 40 years old because they have no fucking career because they should have never had a career because their mom brought them to a fucking audition for Sherwood Schwartz when they were 7 years old. And then we want a kid that's blonde that fits this sweater. And if you watch an episode... of Brady Bunch, the kids have like three lines the entire fucking episode. Alice, I'm hungry. And then they leave, you know? And that's it. There's no acting going on. There's no talent. There's no anything. And then they wonder why they're not getting any work after the Brady Bunch. Well, the reality is you should have never gotten the work. Your mom just drove you to Encino and dropped you off when you were 7, and our moms did nothing for us. That's why you got the gig. Fine, your mom should be the one who's writing the book. But either way... somebody's going to want you to write a book at age 40, and you're willing to write it, but the thing is there's got to be something salacious in there.
Yes.
And I remember when Maureen McCormick, who was Marcia from the Brady Bunch, came on my radio show, and she's like, I had a pretty bad coke problem. It's like, you did? And she's like, yeah, I had to sleep around just to get the coke. Like,
I remember her?
Yeah. Did you fuck her you gave her some coke?
I'm pretty sure I did. Pretty sure. But although, I couldn't get an erection. Coke is such a cruel drug.
Yeah, no, I know.
But, it was her.
Yeah, okay. Marcia. The point is she didn't do any of that shit. She didn't have a problem. You didn't hear about her in and out of rehab. It was just one of those, I got to sell a few books. When Greg Brady came out with a book, he had to do this thing where he like kind of implied that he
right,
was banging
he had
his
a,
mom.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Henderson.
Yeah, he should have implied that
show,
his dad was nailing
show.
Him if he actually
right.
wanted to score. I would have bought that book, but he... Instead, he went with, well, we had a date. And, like, there was this weird thing where they sort of dance around this bullshit fuck fire where they didn't actually do anything, but they have to pretend like maybe they sort of did something. And they really
they have recovered memories, you know.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I think my priest, you know, did this.
Did you happen to see Florence Henderson's season of The Surreal Life? This is a tangent.
I have it loaded up my DVR, so don't ruin anything.
Okay,
for me.
Well, no spoilers.
By the way, Jimmy Kimmel came up with The Surreal Life a year before The Surreal Life came out, except for he called it Has Been House.
Oh.
Which was a more apt description of what we're talking about.
Booking proved to be a problem.
Right. Yeah. He said, let's take, you know, Todd, what's his name from Facts?
Bridges.
Bridges. Excuse me.
I know,
different strokes.
He's the only black man named Todd, and I forget his name every
time. And I auditioned for that shit, man. I lost out to Vanilla Ice.
Oh, shit, man. All right, so the point is this. Yeah, Ron Jeremy, you're going to be bunking with Vanilla Ice.
And
but
Corey
yeah,
Feldman.
Yeah, they already, Jimmy had that idea. Because what, and by the way, we're going to have to keep going with these shows because... We need to keep these reality or TV child stars busy. Otherwise, they're just going to fucking OD or rob banks or both, right?
Or write fake books.
Or write fake books, yeah. Sorry, Florence Henderson.
Well, so anyway, she was a cast member on a season, but she didn't live in the house. She just, like, gave advice. I don't know. It was the weirdest. I feel like she got special treatment because she was Carol Brady.
Yeah.
But she did get that Wessonality commercial.
Yeah.
That I know her more for that than the actual... She was in the
movie. It is her best work.
Wesson Oil, by the way, for everyone under 80.
In her book, she
who doesn't know what the fuck Paul's talking about.
It's a good lubricant, she says.
Yeah.
You know, you do it fast enough,
she would
like chicken.
Sing that this cooking oil had personality, but it was Wessonality. It was retarded. All right. Let's do one more. Winner take all. Here we go.
Who?
I know.
The war on drugs has failed.
The guy, by the way, when you're down 17-4, you do that. Next basket wins. Next basket wins. Here, I'll take it out. I'll take it out. Next one wins. Yeah. Sorry. Here we go. Sorry.
The war on drugs has failed in every way possible. Trying to wage the war on drugs has cost the U.S. $1 trillion, with another $51 billion adding to the tally each year. This has resulted in 45 million drug-related arrests, with the U.S. now jailing 2.3 million prisoners, more people than anyone else on the planet. What has all this accomplished? Rates of addiction remain unchanged, overdose deaths are at an all-time high, and drugs cost less than ever before. It's time to speak out. It's time to adopt and experiment with new approaches. It's time to ask governments around the world to study the evidence and look at the harm being done by outdated drug laws. Most importantly, it's time to start thinking about and treating drug problems as a health issue, not a criminal issue.
Cheech and Chong.
Yes.
Is it Bill Maher, Richard Branson, or Dr. Oz?
Ooh, tough. That's
like a potpourri of blowhard.
Didn't Chong try to go out and do Cheech and Chong, but with his wife?
I was under the bed.
Wasn't there that story that like he went out and did the act?
That's Gallagher.
No. Gallagher sold his act to his brother.
Yeah.
I should think about selling my act to my sister. I wonder what she'd pay for it. She'd pay me, here's how that conversation would go. Get the fuck off my lawn, Adam. I don't want your lame jokes.
I have a guess. Can I say?
Yes.
Or I'm going Dr. Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he's not climbing through a giant colon, I feel like he'd say this. Have you noticed that's all he does? He just climbs through replicas of the digestive tract.
I'd say Bill Maher because he loves statistics and all that.
Bill Maher's on here because they want us to think Bill Maher.
Yeah, maybe.
Branson, it's like, what the fuck is Branson doing on here? But again, that's what Mike does to me. And I agree with what has been said. And none of these guys are blowhards, or they are blowhards, but in a sort of knowledgeable way. I'm going Richard Branson.
Oz.
What do you got?
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, yeah. See,
we winner take all, though, right? So how does that work?
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Which air? Oh, because I fly private now.
He's on the air now.
What?
Oh, you're a contractor.
Why are you interrupting me?
Does he have a license?
He's going to have to add an addition to his liver soon. So what kind of, it's always trouble when the bald guy comes up behind you and asks you to sit down. It's never a bald guy with facial hair says, sir, I'm going to need you. We're going to give you two choices right now. The second choice is
one of them.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to. I'm going to have to sit down right now for me. Okay, right. Oh, never a good sign when the bald guy with the facial hair comes up behind you.
He's a fan, man.
No, I understand.
You're so hard to love, man.
No, I know. Thank you.
He's a fan.
Yeah. Catch a Contractor is coming back 1 hour long episodes, so that'll be good for those of you who enjoy that show. And as far as terrestrial radio, I don't think they have those jobs. But we have our own pirate ships.
I'll
so
be on
fine.
Bar Rescue.
All right, Paul's gonna be on Bar Rescue. All right, I'm going Branson. Sorry, where were we?
Oz.
And I was asking how this works if we're really doing Winner Takes All.
Winner Takes All.
Mar.
You go Mar. Well, now we've used up everyone.
Oh, I already went Oz. I started.
Oh, you went Oz.
That's all right. Why I was asking.
All right. I don't know.
The blog belongs to Richard Branson.
Oh, yeah!
Man. Oh, man.
Fuck yeah! That's why I make everyone call me Ace.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Yeah.
That's why he's going.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
Allison Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison Rosen, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here with this week's guest, Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn, why should they listen?
Well, they should listen because their ears work, and they should listen because I went to the same middle school as Lee Harvey Oswald. And also they had this kid about middle school named Mr. Larry, this black kid, who could pee over our shoulder into the urinal.
That's right.
So a couple of sharpshooters.
And you still remember the piece on this guy.
Oh, dude, I can
still... You mean
still,
his penis.
I could still... Yeah, he had a real piece on him. I will say that. You know, you almost thought he was like, what is that? And you're like, whoa, that's what that is.
So that and so much more. We also talk about feelings, sad stuff, happy stuff.
God bless, man. God bless.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen as Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you. Allison's your new best friend.
Help Adam Carolla save podcasting for all of us. Donate anything you can at fundanything.com/patent troll.
All right.
Congratulations. I could really taste the victory on that one.
Thank you very much.
And it was snatched away, yeah.
Shall we, speaking of snatch, shall we do a little news with Allison Rosen?
Yeah, yeah.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison.
Wow.
Allison.
Wow.
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison.
Wow.
Allison.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a historical court ruling today. A court said that tenure for California teachers is not constitutional. The case was brought on behalf of 9 students who...
ate a cookie that a guy beat off on.
Oh,
and now
man, isn't that sad?
Now he's at home with full pay. He's just going to move him to another school because there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay, that was many, many more than 9 students who were involved in that situation.
He fed the hungry.
I mean, technically you're not wrong, but...
Yeah. No, as my grandfather used to say, teach a man to fish, but beat off on a Nilla wafer. And, oh no, wait a minute.
It sounded better in the Hungarian.
Yeah, whatever it was, but it was something. I remember being confused. He was a little senile at the time. Yeah.
So anyway, the argument is that it unfairly deprives poor students and minority students from getting a good education because there's all these teachers that schools are trying to fire and they spend tons of money and they can't get rid of them because of tenure. And so they end up in these schools that are impoverished.
Let me just say, teachers union is far too powerful in Sacramento. They have too much influence. They care about their security not as much as our. We have the highest paid teachers and the lowest ranked students. Something's wrong.
Yeah. Well,
if money was
listen, we're not spending enough money.
They always say that.
It's always great when they go, no, no, you don't get it. We have the highest paid students, and we're lower than Mississippi in education. And like, yeah, we got to spend more. And I'm like, listen here, academic, look at the fucking graph. You spend more than everyone, and you get less than everyone. So I think that's the argument for spending less. We're fucking idiots.
I worked in Sacramento for a long time, and what it is that they have such power that if you're a candidate for any assembly seat and you don't see the views of the teachers union, they will fund your opponent. You'll be right out of there. Every politician up there is scared to death of that union. First of all, I think
hold on a second.
For sure.
Slow down, Matt Damon. Of course. Look, anytime you say you cannot be fired from your gig, you get super shitty at your gig.
Yes.
That's the way it goes. We were talking about, listen, this is going to sound a little controversial. Maybe it's just a Mangria talking. But seriously, divorce law in this state is like, hey, you can leave anytime and you'll just take the house and the guy will fucking leave. Every guy I know is married to a woman's like, she doesn't cook, she doesn't sew, she doesn't blow, she doesn't fucking do anything anymore.
Not me anyways.
Right. She don't work, we got five nannies, she doesn't do anything. Yeah, because the alternative is you raise your voice, you get tossed out of the house, she'll keep the house, she'll keep half the money, she'll start fucking your brother. It's not helping anybody. I'm saying anytime you just go, you can never, there will be no consequences if you don't teach or make a pot roast or whatever it is. If you fill in the blank, if you stop what you're doing, it does not matter. You'll never lose your gig. People magically get a little shittier at their gig.
That's a fact. That's why communism don't work.
Yeah. You see the shitty haircut I have right now?
No, it's
good, fairly shitty. You want to know why? Because I showed up at my warehouse today, and I bought a trimmer, and the guy Tom from Massachusetts, who works on my cars, who got done sewing my slip covers for my sofa the other day, he gave me a haircut.
He could be your new wife.
Yeah, I said, I've been begging my wife to learn how to cut hair for 15 years. Her answer is, fuck off. I'm not going to learn how to cut the hair. And now I got this strange dude from Lowell, Massachusetts, cutting my hair in my shop today.
Because if I were Tim, I'd be nervous about all the things you've been wanting Lynette to do.
I said, you got the sewing down, you got the hair cutting down. Now let's go for the trifecta. Yeah. No, look, whatever, little job security is fine, but can never be fired does not make for motivated anybody.
Not only that, but they don't have to pay. Tenure is, I don't understand tenure. In the real world out there, there's no tenure.
Well, that's what I say all the time when people go like, well, look, this person's got 15 years into this job. What's their guarantee? What's your guarantee? What's your guarantee? What's your guarantee? Yeah. What's your guarantee? We have no fucking guarantees. You have no, like, whatever business 97% of people are in, like, they go, like, who's going to pay their medical and dental for the rest of their lives? Who's going to pay for their mortgage for the rest of their lives? Who's going to? What about us? Who's going to us? We're fucking paying for them, but what about us?
Well, so you're going to hate this next part.
Uh-oh.
The decision is put on hold, even though the decision's already been made, but there's like a stay on it.
And guess
because
why?
You already know. I take it Because the union is going to appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, right.
And the union will lobby that judge, who's also an elected judge in his area, will lobby and scare the shit out of them. We're messed up. Look, Jerry Brown, I believe that I supported Meg Whitman for governor because the biggest criticism for her was, oh, she's trying to buy off. It's $150 million. You know, at least it was her money. Who is she going to be loyal to or have something to owe? Jerry Brown, all he did is he got $80 million from the unions. Who do you think his loyalty goes to?
Of course. Of course. What the guy's got to vote. They go, let's vote the direction of the people that are clearly wrong. And these unions aren't fighting for your children. They're fighting for their fucking selves.
And a dental plan.
They're out of control, of course. Of course. But they're all heroes. Cops, teachers, firemen, they're all fucking heroes. Kiss my ass. By the way.
And at least now... Now they're fucking their students, literally.
Yes,
know?
Yes.
You know, this is not something that happened when you and I
Yes, know. But anyway, if we could just raise taxes just enough to get teachers paid just a little bit more, all this would go away. Yeah, my ass. All right, where were we?
All right, well, so here's a story that affects the 0.001%. That's your people, Adam.
You know, when I was on that flight with Mitt Romney, we were talking about this. He came with the plane.
That's nice.
He wasn't even going to Sacramento. He just sat on the plane. So when we got back on, he was just there again. He flies on every private flight. That's what he does. And we just talk about the people that are beneath us. Literally. You know, that's our
our mode. The 1%, where was it?
He says 49. 99, but I say 99.999. You know, I said, come on, man. Let's be accurate, man.
Well, so due to the popularity of Downton Abbey... The demand for butlers has been rising.
Shit, I know it's hard to get one in my neighborhood.
I have a nanny, but I would like her to be a butler. Jimmy has a butler. Jimmy has an assistant that really just helps him cook and shit like that. Like, it's not really, but he calls him a butler.
Jimmy has a sous chef.
Yeah. It's good. He calls him Josh. He calls him a butler, but he's really just an assistant. But the butler, because I got the nanny, but that's the kid's butler.
You need your own butler.
Yeah.
So 35 years ago, apparently, there were only a few hundred butlers left in Britain, but today there's roughly 10,000 plus thousands more abroad, and demand is coming from wealthy individuals in emerging markets, so Russian oligarchs. That's what I would be if I could be.
That's because this generation grew up wanting a Mr. Belvedere.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
They want this guy.
Yeah.
We want somebody to answer the door and then show the person to the door.
With an English accent, you know.
And by the way, I that is the greatest. The two greatest insults 100 years ago was I said good day.
Good day.
And I'll see myself out.
Yeah.
Two things you'd love to hear today, right? I don't have to get off the sofa. You'll leave on your own.
Was it something we said? That's what you have to always say that.
Yeah.
So anyway, a guy wrote an article about the rising demand for butlers in GQ. Mm-hmm. And just some tidbit of butler knowledge for you. There's a quiz in here, which is, so let's say you're a butler and then you get a call saying that your child is really sick. What is the appropriate way for a butler to handle that? Someone makes a mistake in here and thinks that it would be okay to like just get your work covered, get other people to cover for you, make sure everything's going to be taken care of, and then tell your employer what's going on, and then go to your kid.
If you're a butler and your kid is sick,
right. How do you handle it? And let's say your principal, that's what they call the people they work for, has a huge dinner party that night. Mm-hmm. The correct answer is not to get everything taken care of and get someone to cover for you and then go to your kid because... Mm-hmm. A good butler would never, ever, ever let their employer even know that they had a sick kid.
Yeah,
let alone a kid.
A kid, right. Yeah.
Because your problems are not your employer's problems.
Yeah. That'd be a weird moment, like when Alfred was sitting down with Bruce Wayne going, I got a 23-year-old and he's kind of struggling with his sexuality right now. I mean, I don't want to judge, but I do want grandkids, and I just don't
Leotard.
Know.
You have a kid?
Yeah.
You have a child? I always assumed you were gay.
No. Remember you saw him shooting hoops with Robin the other day?
Well, you're British. You're kind of a, you're very proper.
After that, no. It's like him and Robin are like so tight. Wait a minute. Is Robin even around anymore?
There was an illusion.
They got rid of Robin, right?
Robin fell by the wayside in these last few movies.
Yeah, okay. Somebody realized they don't need the guy with the skinny arms standing next to Batman, handing him shit. Like, no reason to have this. Like a superhero nurse hanging around with the superhero. Man, it must have been an interesting, a very uncomfortable conversation in the Hall of Justice or the League of Justice or whatever. Robin.
Listen, the Green Lantern.
Yeah, Robin. Robin, I need you to come by your office and come by my office and bring your playbook. Bring your playbook.
Okay, but I just started to study it.
Yeah, no. Just come on by.
Well, I'm almost halfway through.
Yeah, hey,
listen. What was the last movie?
You know how Aquaman doesn't really have
a dolphin
sidekick? Like, he rides a dolphin and shit.
Yeah, he's got the dolphins.
Right, and then Superman.
He's solo act, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the Green Lantern.
Yeah, he's just the Green Lantern.
Yeah, right. And then there's the Flash guy. I don't know where he is. He's running around here somewhere. That's a joke I use. yeah, so then there's Batman.
Yeah, that's what makes you special. You got me.
Yeah.
Well, the Green Lantern had Kato.
Look, I'm not saying you have a bad build, but it's an average build. It's more of a swimmer's build. It's not really muscular, so to speak. And then you're wearing those weird Peter Pan slippers and a leotard. It's kind of like you're asking to be called out.
First of all, it's a uniform. Secondly, you gave it to me.
You think I like the
green and yellow?
I was pretty high in the 60s. You're wearing weird Peter Pan slippers and leotards.
That's what I said.
You got leggings on. I think there's probably something for you to do around
West
the League of Justice here. You could sing. Yeah.
This is taking a weird slide to the meta reel.
Yes. Yeah, but he just doesn't work anymore, does he, Robin?
What movie was the last one that Robin was in, played by Christopher? Was it
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the young Robin. There he is, young Robin.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was like pre-Robin.
A pre-Robin?
He looks
homeless.
Something like that.
Okay. All right.
But in the 60s movies, wasn't he his ward or something? Like Batman's young ward, Robin, or something
like
that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like he collected him from the orphanage. back when you could grab white people
ward.
Over there. I mean, you didn't have to leave the country. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that with any disrespect, but you know what I mean. You got to get on a plane these days. You want to get a white kid. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect, but you know what I'm saying.
So,
where were we?
Butlers start making $30,000 a year before quickly moving up to several hundred thousand dollars per year.
That's when they got the evidence on you.
Escalation.
Huh? That's when they got the evidence, the tape, the
video. Yeah, that's when they move up. Yeah, they move up when they find you fucking the maid
they
or the mistress, and then they start moving up. Yeah,
making racist comments about Instagram.
That's right. That's right. That's when they start working their way up the chain. Yeah.
And get good seats at the Clippers.
That's right. That's right. I make all my racist comments on stage, I'm not going to chance anybody finding out about it, through the back door, so to speak.
I want to shock people,
That's right.
Yeah, do it here when no one hears it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. an Ohio woman celebrated her 100th birthday. She lives at a retirement home. What she wanted to do for her birthday, she had just one wish. She wanted to do some yard work and smell fresh cut grass.
Mm-hmm. Not put her uterus back up?
And did she do it?
She did. Uh-huh. With help, she pushed one of the university's mowers. Mm-hmm. So the crew of Bowling Green State University helped her.
She looks like she's asking for help. I don't think she wanted to do that.
She pushed one of the mowers, and then she helped plant flowers near the student union.
Uh-huh. By the way, you got to set the bar a little bit higher if you make it to 100 in terms of things you want to do.
Unless this is a huge thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's like you have one last meal. What would you like? A fish stick. Just one. Don't thaw it.
Hot pocket.
One hot pocket frozen. Yeah. Do the cheddar jalapeno one. You're fucking mowing a lawn.
Yeah.
This is something you should dread.
Yeah, we're expecting, like, you know, skydiving or something.
I want to fuck the Pope. You know what I mean? Like, I want something.
You should. Don't let anyone take that from you.
Well, I mean, you got to have a dream. That's what gets you out of bed every morning. You know what I mean?
A but, real like, bucket list.
But yeah, if I get to 100 years, I don't want to do what I pay, you know, one of your relatives to do it. I
mean, probably not, me. I'm available.
You. The guy did look like you. Was that you?
What? It could. Yeah.
You drive a Silverado with a Brahma Bolt decal on the door? Is that you? Okay.
That's Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada used to do commercials for buying land, like on like Pine Mountain or something. And I didn't even know what that was when I was a kid. I used to watch that. He's been washed up for like 121 years.
Not in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Eric Estrada?
He's my neighbor, believe it or not. This is a true story. He lives up the street.
Really?
He's a nice guy. You
know? No, he seemed like a cool guy.
I see him walking his dogs all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you know about him?
What do you want to know?
Well, let's see. Single guy?
He's allowed to carry a gun. I know he carries a gun. He's a sheriff. He was deputized by somebody in the...
NBC?
Mm-hmm.
No, somebody in Alabama, some southern state. He really walks around with a... Gun,
right, so. All right. So he has a gun.
Yeah.
He walks his dog.
Right.
He's your neighbor.
He's my neighbor. He's a nice guy.
Nice guy?
Yeah.
Huge teeth? Big smile?
Still, yeah.
Uh-huh. Does he ride a motorcycle?
No motorcycles. He's got a Rolls. Not new, but nice.
Right, all right. Does he talk shit about Larry Wilcox?
Yeah, he talks shit about George Lopez, basically.
That's what you guys do.
A feud going, I think.
Really?
Yeah, for real. Haven't you heard it?
I don't follow the culture
closely. I don't follow the culture. Gee, why didn't I expect that?
We're not a buzz about the, when I say we, but you know what I mean. But what I'm saying, the whole George Lopez, Eric Ponch, Estrada, feud that's going on.
They almost came to blows, you know. It was.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. Apparently, George said some jokes, and they had a misunderstanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. Did you guys know about that?
Well, you do now.
Okay.
I did not know.
I knew about his feud with the Accidentes lawyer, but I didn't know about his feud with Lopez.
No, I did not. So Lopez was making some jokes.
Yeah, it was a joke. Yeah.
And he didn't take that.
He didn't like it.
No, because he's got the pride, the machismo.
Well, yes. You know, who doesn't?
I don't know. I feel like, who's the best culture at taking a joke? Like, in terms of, like, if a comedian is up there talking shit about you. You know what I mean? Jewish?
The people in your audience at the time, I think.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if, like, you're a celebrity of a certain ethnicity, race, group, whatever, I'd say Jews, probably the top of. I mean, they may be pissed. I think the Jews would be pissed about it, but they wouldn't do anything about it. not because no. Not because they're pussies. They just wouldn't want to be caught doing that. Like they'd be you know, they're a sneaky breed. They would.
It's getting better.
Eric Estrada, if he was a Jew, would have hired a Mexican to poison George Lopez's dog. That's what I'm saying, and I mean that with great respect.
That's how we work. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they wouldn't have just fucking started with. You know what I'm saying? I think you understand.
I follow you exactly.
Yeah, okay. Let's do one more.
All right. So the identity of the guy who's hiding the cash, you know, the Twitter handle at Hidden Cash.
Oh, right.
We talked about it. It's been in the news a lot. This person will tweet out where he's going to be hiding, like, chunks of cash between
Arizona,
20
right?
and 2. To what?
In Arizona, this guy hit a gold, for those of you who don't know, a treasure chest, right?
No, this guy's different.
Yeah, this one is just, it started in San Francisco, and then it came down to Southern California, and it creates just mayhem when he does it, because it's almost like a flash mob, like tons of people, pandemonium, tons of people come out. Adam thinks it's nefarious. I think it's kind of amusing. But anyway.
Well, it is, but you're manipulating poor people, essentially. Yeah. Like, it's a fucking lottery. I mean,
poor
I don't know what's...
people who have Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean,
everyone's
got Twitter.
Then they have to give blood in order to get a clue, you know.
We're just fucking with poor people. Like, it's a weird thing. I mean, I don't care about poor people.
I understand.
No, it's like what I was saying to Mitt. when we're flying over God knows where, you know, where you, wherever you poor people live. I'm saying I don't care, but I still... Yeah. It feels bad having us burn all those calories for nothing. You know what I mean?
It just shouldn't be done. That's understandable if it's
Yeah, if you're poor and you want to burn calories, run on a treadmill that powers my pinball machine. You know what I mean? That's the way. That's what I'm saying to Mitt.
Well, you know in I mean? The I don't mean to add legitimacy to your thought, but it in the same way you Thank do you. Hate the lottery. And
yes, I hate the fucking lottery. I just feel like it preys on poor people. Like you're not supposed to be sitting around trying to figure out where there might be $180 stuffed up in
and
plastic gnome's ass.
They're
and
not
put
used
over
to having that kind of money. Center. Usually kills them, you know?
Yeah, you're just running around. Just fucking spend that money trying to educate yourself and get yourself to the next level. All right, but
so anyway,
they
his
found
identity
the guy.
Came out. Yeah,
yes,
it's,
thank
he's
you.
A real estate magnate named Jason Buzzi, and what happened was Inside Edition did a supposedly anonymous interview with him on the phone, but then they used software to do voice analysis. That's how they put it together with the interview he'd done a while ago, and he admitted that he should not have agreed to do the interview.
It turned out to be that dude from Entourage.
Can I say this? All the experts in voice analysis and handwriting analysis and body language analysis never fucking give up shit. They're like, well, the way he was putting all the weight on his right hip suggests that he may not be telling the truth, but you can never be sure.
Yeah, well,
what do I need your ass for then?
Yeah.
I can fucking tell when people are blinking a little bit too much, but
That's
you never
how
can
you
be
know
sure.
Someone's mind. They're blinking a lot or not blinking at all or just the normal amount.
Right, but
which is everything. Which is
right.
Everything.
But they end every fucking sentence with, you never know. So what the fuck do we need you for?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about when the tests come back or voice analysis or any of this analysis. Like, I always imagine it's just you feed something into a machine and then it pops out and tells you the identity of whatever.
Right.
I don't think it's that. Most of these analysis things, I think it's just someone looking at a bunch of data.
It's just
points.
Someone trying to get a spot on TED Talks. That's
right. Right. All right. So this guy.
So, yeah, he's a real estate magnate, Jason
right.
Buzzi. He regrets having done the interview because he liked the mystique. He thought that was part of the fun. Mm-hmm. But he says there's no end in sight to this. Just the opposite. There's like big drops planned all over. There's talk of a travel
How scholarship. How much money do you have to be a magnet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what's the cutoff line?
I think you have to
What did you and Mitt decide?
Well, Mitt and I were saying it's not an amount. You know what I mean?
It's
more like if you can go to the ATM and
buy a house.
No, if you can go to the ATM, max out your card, take all the 20s, shove it up the ass of a plastic owl, and then go put that owl down in Burbank at the Embassy Center, whatever the hell that place is over there with the fake blackbird SR-71. What is it? The Empire Center. Yeah, I felt like I got almost there. Thank you.
kindly
stranger. If you have that kind of money, then you have the money. You know what I mean? Because the amounts are, there's always some guy in China, some guy in Mexico, some guy in Russia that's
With
got way, way, way more than you do. But if you can just throw it away, then you're rich.
What's the difference between a magnate, a mogul, and a captain of industry?
That's interesting.
Captain is not as rich, I don't
think. I think
it's just the title they give.
I think captain of industry, you got to be white.
Okay. Mogul, most captains,
yeah. You could be a black mogul. You be or
like a rap mogul,
be a rap, or impresario.
It helps to be.
Captain industry is definitely the realm of like Larry Tate looking dudes. You know what I mean?
I never thought about yeah.
Yeah. This Mexican rich guy you speak of?
He's a magnet.
Yeah. He's not a captain of industry, though.
He's a lieutenant. That,
you got to hold down a lot of people that are lighter than you, or darker than you, I should say, if you're going to be the captain of industry. Magnet, you could be whatever. You have to look like Larry Tate. Yeah. I think it's just about, it's pigment in your skin.
Okay. Good lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you even get the Larry Tate reference?
Nope. Yes, and
Bewitched.
We gotta find a picture of Larry Tate.
Larry Tate.
Larry Tate was the boss. Every episode, I wish my life resembled a 60, 70 sitcom in at least just one respect, where on a Wednesday, I would say to Lynette, the boss is coming over for dinner on Friday, and she would fucking, she'd go, oh my God, everything's got to be perfect. Instead of,
there he is.
There's Larry Tate.
That's looks a lot like they copied Mad Men, the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, over every...
That's back when we trusted little mustaches.
Yes. Every single episode was the boss is coming over Friday, and he's bringing the clients.
And don't do your magic.
And all you the wife wanted to do is make everything fucking perfect. It would never work out. But her whole job was to make things perfect, whereas...
Without using magic. Don't twitch your fucking nose. Remember, he's just...
By the way... If Lynette could move her nose and move me into a candy
son of Tate.
If
son
she could
of Tate.
Like move her nose and we could just move into Candy Spelling's condo and
no
kick
shit.
That bitch to the curb and I could just drive a Lamborghini station wagon which doesn't exist. And all my enemies could be stricken with hepatitis C. I'd never end. It'd never end with the moving of the nose.
That's why I dream of Genie. I never bought into that because, you know, what guy's going to say, no, not here. Not
yeah.
There.
Yeah, listen, you marry a genie, you marry a witch. This is part of the fun,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
First thing you do is you make that cunt Mrs. Kravitz disappear, right? Like, fucking put a pox on her. You shrink her down and she's plucked up. By a crow and dropped in a reservoir or a landfill.
I would have
you know
seen
I mean?
That
like
series.
Fucking go evil. And nobody ever fucks with you. You walk into Larry Tate's office and you're like, start
fuck
sucking,
you, Larry.
Old man. Or all your ass will be wished into the cornfield.
That's what you think Darren wanted?
You'll be doing that,
oh,
Ms. Moorhead.
Oh, my God. I'd be telling my wife, like, listen, shave. Just do that. I don't feel like shaving. I don't feel like wiping my ass. I've even beating off has lost its luster. Just do it. Just do your nose. I'm done moving. I want you to actually inhale and exhale for me by shit. Moving your nose because I'm not
That'd
moving.
That'd be a better series.
Not moving a fucking inch ever again. Start working. And by the way, I went fucking huge guns. I went Terry Crews size guns. I want
a larger
yeah,
set.
Big cock, yeah, big cock, yeah. Shrink the sack.
shave sack too.
Shave it, clean it, yeah. I got
own it.
It'd be nothing, nothing but requests. You know what I'm saying?
Damn,
it
would be
wouldn't
good.
Be. No. And by the way, when things were going bad, like when the client and Larry Tate pulled up the driveway and Dr. Bombay had started a cockfight in the living room, I wouldn't be like, don't use the magic. I'd be like, now it's time to really double down on the nose action.
If ever there was a time, it's now.
Yeah.
Who's going to fuck Aunt Tabitha? What was her name?
Tabitha. Well, that's the daughter.
Who was the aunt? The old woman aunt?
Esmeralda, yeah.
And Agnes Moorhead.
Yeah, that was Endora. Yeah, that's right.
She yeah, who's going to bang those chicks?
Yeah, and also...
Wow.
listen, I know this is going to be a tough, you know, tough on the nostrils, but I want some whores around here. You know what I mean? You got to do your job. You can make them disappear after I come.
Monica?
I'm going to fuck him in the Lamborghini wagon.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the only conversation I would have. Not, no.
Shit, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
That'd be a great series.
Yeah.
They should do the new one, you know?
The best one is I Dream of Jeannie when Barbara Eden would be in the bottle.
Yeah.
And someone, like, would pick up the bottle. Cork she'd it. Have to do that weird, like, you know that move? They don't, now they have good special effects, but before when they had an earthquake, the actors had to just act like, whoa, but they were never quite in sync and one was moving too much.
Yeah,
she just sit. In this big velvet, you know, three walls on some soundstage at, you know, on the Radford lot. They have to be like, whoa, who's picking up this bottle?
Oh, master. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, master.
Master.
Yeah. Oh, man. Simpler times. All right. Let's bring it home.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Tip it, cunt.
Hey. That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Guys' Choice Awards. Everyone's like, Adam, do a live read. I'm like, no, I won't. I won't burn the good people of Pasadena with a live read. But they're like, no, do it. We demand it. And I say, fine. Guys' Choice Awards tonight. 9 p.m., well, 8 Central. Spike TVs, that'll be tomorrow. Guys' Choice Awards with Matthew McConaughey. You guys were there.
You saw
all the A-listers. Sandra Bullock, Kevin Hart, Keanu Reeves, Andy Samberg, Key and Peele, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models, and Johnny Knoxville, and more. That is Guys' Choice Awards tonight, 9 only on Spike TV.
Good show.
And George Lopez is going to be playing the Megadome, but Paul Rodriguez will be back here. I don't know why it says that on the card.
That's bizarre, yeah.
He's not leaving, actually. He'll be here the whole time.
Yeah.
You got to be funny to work here.
Lopez is the actual forum. He's going to be, Paul Rodriguez is going to be playing the Pasadena Ice House. He'll be
right
here. Don't even leave. It's only 2 weeks.
You don't leave.
Nachos for everybody.
Free nachos.
That is June 20th and 21st. Also, you can check out his website, paulrodriguez.com.
Thank you.
paulrodriguez.com. You can Twitter him at Paul Rod. The Paul Rod.
You got to call yourself something.
Yes. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Paul Rodriguez, Allison Rosen, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. For live podcasts, Mangria events, stand-up, and more, visit AdamCarolla.com.
This episode of the Adam Carolla Show was brought to you by Hulu Plus. Who knew? I did. Hulu, baby. Watch your favorite TV shows anytime, anywhere on Hulu Plus. On your TV or on the go, smartphone, tablet, whatever you like. Family Guy, Once Upon a Time, New Girl, Scandal, and much more. And now you can try Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Adam. HuluPlus.com/Adam or click on the banner on my website. That's HuluPlus.com/Adam.
This is Corolla Digital.